Welcome into Super Bracket Bros. Thank you again for joining us. I am your host and your personal bracketologist, Jay. And sitting across from me today, I have Eli, my co-bracketologist slash assistant to the bracketologist. We're still in the process of figuring that out.
I feel like the title changes like every week, but it's the same job.
It's... You know, it's classic work politics, right? This is a podcast where we've taken 32 fictional characters, pitted them against each other in a series of one-on-one matchups to see just who is the best of the best. And today, we are halfway through the Super 16, so we've blown through the round of 32, and now we are getting into the thick of it here.
I know, It's kind of crazy how long of a slog the 32 round was, and this is just like, oh, shit.
I know, we're, like, I feel like this is almost done, and, like, the round of 32 really was a slog. And not that that's a bad thing, like, yeah. like each matchup and talking about each character was highly entertaining and enjoyable, but now I feel like we're things are moving very quickly now.
And you know, we always reference the NCAA tournament, which is our point of reference, and it's kind of mm-hmm. true too. The rounds of 64 and 32 are just this crapshoot,
essentially,
yeah. that lasts like a whole weekend, and mm-hmm. you don't know what. And so it's basically a survival mm-hmm. more than anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're gonna have those crapper games where the one seed beats up the 16 by 32 points, but then you know, every once in a while you'll have Duke go down as the second seed and everyone freaks out.
You had to bring up Duke as the example.
They're terrible. They shouldn't be a team. Wipe them out of existence.
But no, so we are halfway through the Super 16 and we have an interesting matchup here.
Yeah, so today we are in the North bracket. So we have Toph Beifong, the higher seed, is the 5 seed, along going up against the 8 seed.
Master of upsets.
Master of upsets. The current upset king of Super Bracket Bros. From here until probably next season, we have Po from Kung Fu Panda, who took out All Might in the last round.
And Toph beat up on Kylo Ren.
Yeah, the more I think about that matchup, the more handedly I think I give it to Toph.
Honest to God, like, Kylo Ren was such an aggressive fighter, and mm-hmm. against earthbending, that's like...
Exactly, like, earthbending is so neutral and, like, is the most medium type of bending. Like, it's not entirely offensive or defensive, it just waits for its moment and then is able to strike.
It is the one type of bending that you can't just punch through.
No,
Like Kylo is used to doing.
Exactly.
But that brings Poe into an interesting situation with this fight, in mm-hmm. that he is the opposite of an overly aggressive fighter, but we're sort of getting ahead of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the dwarves and the gnomes, by far and away my favorite session in any of our episodes.
So, yeah, so in between...
I think I like them because there's somebody lower than me on the totem pole.
So,
unless you're somehow beneath them on the hierarchy.
You're the quintessential middle manager of Super Bracket Bros. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'm the shitty manager
that kicks the lower guys even further down the totem pole.
To make me feel better about myself.
So, yes, in between each match, we have our Super Bracket Bros, gnomes and dwarves that we have to repair any equipment and also to heal our combatants. So, it's not sort of we're not building on each match, but in a way we are, because after each fight, the opponent gets to view their future opponent's fight. So, how that works is Poe is going to view the fight between Toph and Kylo Ren, you know, with our Super Bracket Bros branded iPad.
You can't say iPad. It's a B-pad.
And then on the other side, we're going to have Toph, which presents an interesting conundrum for our podcast, is going to experience in her way the fight between All Might and Poe. So... this is something we've seen coming for a long time as soon as we implemented this. How so Toph Beifong from The Last Airbender is a 12-year-old girl, youngest combatant in the tournament, but is also blind.
Yes.
So that makes our our Super Bracket Bros pad pretty irrelevant to her. So we sort of just, the equivalent of her seeing what she does in the show is sort of she uses the vibrations of what's happening around her to paint this image.
Can the gnomes like play out the fight? And then she feels the vibrations on the ground.
Do you want a gnome with like a little Deku All Might onesie? Punching up another gnome in a panda onesie.
That's amazing. Like, okay, this isn't going to have any mechanical effect on the fight. We're not going to be like, oh, Toph doesn't know about the opponent. It's like somehow one way or another, she's going to
get... No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that'd be dumb. So it's essentially, oh, she's going to understand that he's more of a fluid, almost like a waterbender, essentially.
Yeah, I sort of imagine if she got to experience the fight just by standing on the standing at the USJ while this fight went down, you know, at each point of the battle, so that she understands how the battle went down.
Yeah, she's gonna get the impression that here's a fighter who's pretty light on his feet, pretty fluid in his motions,
but yet also somehow very heavy.
Very heavy. Yeah. I think that she's gonna take that into account into the fight, that he is a large opponent that with plenty of room to hit. But also I feel like somehow or another she's gonna get the spiritual, you know, energy with the wooshy finger hold.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, like, because I give her credit to be able to, you know, sense the wooshy finger hold go through and then one for all fight it back,
and she's just like, shit.
And you see these like these, you know, these heavy hitters go pound for pound and, you know, hit each other across the USJ. So yeah, so I mean, she's gonna know, Poe's, you know, nothing to sneeze at, that somehow an earthbender plus an airbender, like he is what would come out of the airbender universe as somehow both.
Right. And so I'm interested at, well, we'll obviously talk about how she's going to approach that in the fight, but Toph isn't the most tactically minded person. She's uber confident and just like, I don't care, I'm going to still kick the shit out of him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she's not like a snot-nosed brat, but I mean, she is full of herself to the extreme, you know?
Yeah, I still love that Ember Islands player episode. Oh, in the play, she's played by this huge buff dude, and she's like, that's awesome.
She's like, yes, this is perfect.
So we have that, and Poe on the other side, I feel like he's fanboying out. How cool is this?
Yeah, he's gonna run up to the gnomes and like pick up their hat and then drop it and be like, oh.
They also like, unfortunately, the dwarves can't do anything.
Yeah, I know. Our dwarves are like out of luck this time.
They're just sitting there.
They're just sitting there. Some Super Bracket Bros lore explanation. I sort of imagine our gnomes as Keebler elves. I don't know if that's correct or not. That's sort of the impression that I get. Keebler elves with pointy gnome hats.
Yes.
That's what I'm imagining.
With the logo on.
Yeah. So and then our dwarves are like a little bit, probably like twice as big, but like, are stout classic dwarves with the braided long beards and like the whole thing.
They're, I like the idea that they look like some World of Warcraft, like kind of cool looking versus the dorky ass Keebler gnomes.
Yeah, exactly. Our dwarves are much cooler than our gnomes. The gnomes are actually much higher, they're a higher rank than the dwarves, because, you know, they have controlled the Super Bracket Bros pad, but they don't act like it.
I feel like the gnomes should be the cooks. They're the healers, the cooks, they just tend to the physical well-being.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. They actually have a tiny kitchen, and they don't ever make anything that's actually satisfying.
Poe gets a dumpling and just like, he's too nice to say, oh.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, thank you, it's wonderful. We're a serious show here. So anyway, Poe is obviously freaking out, and then he sees the pad of the film, and he's probably geeking out at that also.
It's going to be like exciting, like it's going to be like a Saturday morning TV show for him to watch Toph beat up this dark and brooding.
But that's also in his benefit, though. He is such a fanboy, he's sort of mastered, he's able to like look at an opponent and be like,
that's one thing I was gonna say. Like, I remember in the first Kung Fu Panda, like he geeks out over the Furious Five and can name like every move and everything about them. And so like, I see him as someone that absorbs a lot of information very easily, especially when he's a fan of it, you know?
And so I think he's gonna glean, and it's a martial art that she's using that's actually based off like a Manta style of Kung Fu. So I feel like Toph is obviously, you know, she's going to be cocksure and not going to be too strategic, whereas Poe is going to be more low-key strategic about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's just like, oh, this girl is so cool. She could throw rocks with her mind.
Exactly, yeah.
I think he'll have a, not a sound strategy, but at least an idea.
He'll know what's coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that, so I imagine he probably notices that she's blind. Does he glean anything from that? Does he like make the connection that she sees via vibrations? I mean, the only reason anybody understands it in The Last Airbender is that she explains it.
Yeah.
Specifically, going back to that Ember Islands episode where, like, the perception is from apparently the world that Toph sees via echolocation.
She screams really loud.
Yeah, and, like, the actor for Toph just screams at somebody.
Well, in the fight against Kylo Ren, Kylo did get launched into a tree, and she kind of was just, like, throwing rocks haphazardly. So I think he might be able to figure out, like, okay, like the fact she's controlling the earth, I feel like that's a bell ringing, like, oh, she kind of sees with the earth,
right?
And Poe being the fanboy that he is will probably put two and two together.
Yeah, he's almost, to bring in a third non-relevant universe, like he's got some Deku characteristics where like he's studying furiously and writing down in his notebook to like try to understand everything.
He's basically the biggest comic book nerd of this tournament. So he's bringing in that encyclopedic knowledge.
Exactly. God, Bakugo would hate Poe so much.
He'd be the one person he'd hate more than that. Anyway, so yeah, I feel like they're both rested up.
Yeah.
The portal's open, and Toph is the higher seed, so we have, you know, all of the Avatar world to...
Yeah, I know, we're going back to Avatar for the third time in this tournament. I think a good place to go would be in the Earth Kingdom. Specifically, I'm thinking Ba Sing Se would be a good place to go.
I was thinking in front of the Earth Palace.
In front of the Earth Palace, yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, that works. So yeah, in the heart of Ba Sing Se, in front of the Earth Palace, you have these portals open up and Toph and Poe walk out.
We forget that pandas don't really exist in the Avatar world.
Yeah. So yeah, how does this kick off? What is this interaction like?
Poe tries to say something cool and Toph just shits on him.
Absolutely.
Just dunks on him so hard and Poe gets his feelings hurt.
Oh yeah. Kind of whimpers like, oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Avatar The Last Airbender is full of quippy characters and Toph is one of the most savage at her quips.
And like, I imagine that's quickly followed up. She probably just launches a comb of earth and tries to shoot him away, like just like as far away as possible.
So now that we're getting into the mechanics, the reason I brought up the Kylo Ren versus Toph fight was that was really telling for this fight, and that Kylo Ren and Poe are polar opposites in pretty much every facet you can possibly imagine. Whereas Kylo was trying to chop through the rocks, Poe is just going to be like moving to the side essentially.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's why I said like he's quintessential like neutral, grounded earthbender, but also has the flow of an earthbender, you know, to be able to maneuver like one and to maneuver around the earth. And so like I could see him getting caught off guard, but I mean if he just gets launched in the air, I mean he lands gracefully no matter what.
And
I'm
that's
sure.
Gonna be so confusing because Toph has got a sense that he's a bigger dude, but he probably hasn't seen anybody so light on their feet.
Exactly, like the two just don't fully make sense in Toph's head. I would imagine. So.
And so the fact that, you know, Poe senses vibrations on Earth, so every time Poe lands, there's going to be that vibration, but he's so unpredictable with his feet movement where he'll put his foot one place and Toph will react, and then he'll put it in another place and Toph will kind of just be like, you can't do what? You can't do that?
Yeah. I mean, Poe has no range. Like, no. It just is non-existent. So in the beginning parts of this fight where they're not right up next to each other, Toph is going to be on the offensive. How do you think Poe handles Toph's projectiles, like earth projectiles that she's going to be sending his way?
I think he dodges majority, like probably 80%. Like, I think he'll take a few chunks of rock to the face, but the big like pillars and everything, I think he dodges pretty easily.
Yeah, the only way would be is if they end up in a more confined space. Like I just don't think that would work to Toph's advantage using any large projectiles. It's gonna have to be small discs that she summons up from the earth and launches and in a volley, you know, which she's certainly capable of doing.
Yeah, so I think the first phase of this fight is her just trying to just mow down this this weird panda guy.
Yeah.
Whatever a panda is.
Exactly. And he's going to be touching. Oh, so cool. So cool.
Wow.
And then he's going to get like hit in the gut by a chunk of earth. And then like there's just going to be like some earth dust on him. He's just going to take it and like put it in his pocket and be like, keep that for later.
So like, I think I give it to Poe to be able to make close the distance. I think he closes the distance better than Kylo did because of that whole offensive approach where Kylo got overwhelmed because he tried chopping through all the rock. Poe is just not even touching it, so he's not wasting energy trying to move it. He's almost like, I feel like he'll get close to Toph, but that might be where Toph bugs out and maybe puts off like a shield wall where I don't, that's, Poe doesn't really have an answer for that.
He's got to punch through the earth to get to Toph essentially, because I mean, she can completely encompass herself in walls, and you know, not to mention like she can completely encompass her body, so she has this earth armor that she can run around in.
I guess the question of this fight, and really the determinant, so we know how Toph would theoretically beat Poe, is overwhelming him with earth, just throwing so many rocks and getting too many hits in. We know how Poe is going to beat Toph getting in. So, okay, so we talked about the Wuxi finger hold, and we MacGuffin the shit out of that in the All Might fight, because we're working with this like spiritual energy kind of thing.
Yeah.
If Poe was fighting Aang, the Wuxi finger hold wouldn't do anything?
Yeah, I don't think so, because Wuxi finger hold sends you to spirit world. Aang can move essentially freely from the spirit world to the physical world,
because
so I would say it would not work on Aang,
because there's precedent for him having abilities.
He is the avatar, so like I think like him and Korra would be the only ones from that universe that would be able to.
Exactly. So Toph, if she gets in that Wuxi finger hold, I think it'd be game over.
Yeah, no, I certainly think so too. And so, but that does rely on two very important things. One, which we've alluded to already, is being, is can Poe close the distance? Can he get close enough to be able to do this? And then secondly, which I mean, we mentioned the earth armor that covers her hands too. It's not going to be easy to, you know, to be able to grab her and to be able to grab her hand,
right?
You know, because she literally has armor covering it. And I could see Poe like punching through the earth, but I mean, that's going to take some doing.
I just bring up the Wuxi finger hold because it is sort of the ace in the sleeve,
mm-hmm.
but we can't deny Poe is more than, you know, our tagline, he's more than a one trick pony.
Mm-hmm.
He's a martial arts expert.
Yeah.
And so he's fighting a character who doesn't get hit physically at all in the series.
No, not really. Yeah, I can't even think of an example off the top of my head.
Like, we brought that up in the Kylo fight, where if Kylo gets a hit in, it's almost like game over, because she is a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, and with how strong Poe is and the opponents he fights physically, like, it's just going to take one or two hits from Poe. And so, like, the Wuxi finger hold is, like, it's great.
It's neat.
It's neato. But like, I don't even see it being necessary in a fight like this. Like, I see it like he needs to try it against All Might, because like, it's freaking All Might. But like, Toph, I don't even see him necessarily breaking it out against a little girl.
No, yeah. Like, so I think
also vice versa, is Poe freaked out by a human?
You thought about that.
Like, obviously Toph is freaked out by this panda person.
He's like, what are you?
Yeah, what,
a little monkey
is this? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so like, the Wuxi finger hold is almost null and void, because
for this fight I'd say it's null and void.
Yeah,
because Poe had to bring that out, because physical attacks weren't affecting All Might like it will against Toph. Like you said, two or three hits, I think Toph is done.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she just passed out on the ground, done. Any attack is going to be devastating against Toph.
But it's almost like, what's her name? One of Azula's fighters.
Ty Lee.
Yeah, Ty Lee. She sort of has a similar, like, punching style.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not straight up, like, drilling you in the chest, but more of just, like, hitting you strategically.
Exactly. And that's kind of the technique that Poe delivers as well. So, yeah, so it's just a matter of if Poe can get there.
And so one thing we haven't really brought up is we're like, Avatar characters, in a sense, have terrain manipulation as an essence.
Mm-hmm.
Toph especially. And we've sort of been referencing the terrain manipulation as just an offensive force. But in the show, we've seen her be able to turn things into quicksand, mm-hmm. like the terrain around her, and it's all earth there around. Like, they're in the Earth Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. so Poe, I think she gets a sense of, like, she's throwing rocks and everything, and this guy's very light on his feet. All right, time to take out those feet, and she might summon, a pit of mud. Mm-hmm. Or the quicksand, or like when that fight against Kylo, where she would like move her foot subtly, mm-hmm. would cause a trip.
Yeah,
I think that thing might, those might come into play here.
Yeah, I could see her doing that, to try to like to trap Poe at some point and to be able to defeat him. Quicksand wise, like, I think Poe is light enough on his feet and fast enough to be able to get himself out of a scenario like that. Like if he lands on quicksand, like jump back up quick or like, and, or run quickly to be able to get out of that area. So I could see him being able to do that.
I can even see that whole twisting earth thing might even play into Poe's benefit, because mm-hmm. he is such a, that drunken style almost plays to that. Oh, I'm all off kilter, and then he just rebounds and almost surprises Toph.
Yeah, because I imagine like the way he moves is not like, she's not going to be able to predict where he's going to be next.
Right,
and so I think the more time like he spends in the air is obviously going to be to his benefit. And so if he takes advantage of the palace nearby, which is still Earth, so she can still see him, but to be able to come from above, like that could be the end of Toph.
I can almost see a situation where that might be the opposite. So, like, here's my theoretical strategy. Toph just, like, puts down her foot and launches Poe into the air.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah.
slings him up.
Yeah.
Poe, what's he going to be able to do in the air?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when Toph starts flying rocks at him.
Yeah.
And Poe can't use his feet to dodge it.
Well, I mean, if she throws enough earth and if it's big enough, like, he can use it to maneuver in the air, though.
Right.
Like, I know it wasn't Poe who did it, but in the first Kung Fu Panda, you have Tai Lung. He literally does that as, like, the explosions are going off around him to escape the prison.
That's true.
And he jumps from piece of earth to go vertically for, like, upwards. And so, like, Poe defeated him. So, like, I give him the benefit of the doubt to be able to also use, you know, these earth, especially if she continues to launch large pillars or anything like that. Like, he could run down that and straight to Toph.
No,
and get a jump on her.
Yeah, and I think Toph wouldn't be in that. There's no way, like, she'd be able to figure out, like, oh, he could probably run on these rocks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's probably heaving those huge rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And can she sense, like, the rocks like in the air?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so she at least like when I that was one thing I was looking for, and there's a couple times in the series where she manipulates earth in the middle of the air.
Mm-hmm.
So like she can sense it in the air.
Okay, so she can sense that like he's maneuvering things. And another thing at Kung Fu Panda 2,
mm-hmm.
When Poe is deflecting the cannonballs,
mm-hmm.
I could totally see a scenario, maybe not in the air, but on the ground, where Poe uses that momentum to throw the very rocks back at Toph.
Yeah, exactly. I think she would be able to earthbend the rocks into pieces, you know, as soon as they come at her, or, you know, to raise a shield quickly. I could see her being able to do that. It's just she's going to be doing that while Poe could be doing something else while he's advancing towards her. So, I mean, obviously, if he gets a clean hit on Toph, Toph is done, but how does he handle Toph's earth armor, which she almost will certainly summon if Poe gets too close?
I have to imagine, we've seen the strength of Poe.
Mm-hmm.
He's powerful, and even if it's not outward powerful, I feel like he could deliver a punch that was precise enough to get through like a crack or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can totally see the dragon warrior kind of sensing the just the layout of the armor,
right, and seeing and pinpoint weaknesses and things like that. Yeah
if this was All Might, he would punch through that armor.
Well, yeah.
but Poe again is the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Where he'll find like a crack or something and deliver the right punch to sort of, you know, strike Toph, and her just being like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can do that.
Yeah I could see that. Or like even like picking apart the armor, because I mean, she's earthbending it to herself, but I mean, if he could just grab a rock by rock and throw it away, and she has to constantly like rebuild her armor, Poe could be fast enough to do that if he just envisions each rock as a dumpling, you know. You know, it's almost too bad for Toph that this is like a fully earth and no metal area.
Yeah.
Because, like, if she could metal bend anything and, like, encase herself in metal, like, that would almost be game over for Poe. But, like, the earth is significantly weaker and is able to get picked apart, I think.
Yeah. So, like, we're going off these assumptions that Poe is dodging and weaving through these rocks, but I think at some point he's going to have to take some hits.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be taking, I feel like he's going to be taking damage throughout. And like you said, like, you know, he dodges a lot, but as the fight progresses, he's going to take more and bigger hits, I think. And so we sort of set a precedent with his last match that he can take some punches from All Might because of his, you know, essentially his durability and his reverberation ability to be able to take hits and redirect them.
Yeah, we kind of gave him power nullification.
Yeah, essentially.
Which was a very dangerous precedent.
Yeah, so it's going to take a lot from Toph to be able to take him down if she pursues a strategy of just trying to pummel Poe.
Mm. And that's what she's going to do. That's what her bread and butter is pummeling the shit out of her opponents. She's not the most nuanced fighter. And so, but again, we're talking about just like boulders upon boulders, you mm-hmm. know, Poe can like punch them and probably, you know, break a few, but at some point it's just going to be like too much, throwing just that whole wall upon mm-hmm. wall upon wall.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I see like him, I feel like the only true way for Toph to win this fight is to trap Poe in Earth at a point in which he's too exhausted to be able to escape.
Right, yeah.
So I see that being the only like viable strategy, because like Poe's stamina obviously goes from 0 to 100 over the course of the first movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that first movie, that like, was some rocky shit. I'm yeah, like.
Exactly. Like he escalates very quickly, but he's still, I would say, by a decent shot, the slowest of the Furious Five, has the least stamina, I would say. And so, you know, obviously in the big moments, he always comes through, but, you know, that so does Toph, you know, and so when you're trying to compare the two, like, and we mentioned this in the Kylo Ren fight, Toph, you know, has a very easy time earthbending. It's part of her. It comes very naturally. So I see her stamina being better here. And if she can simply, you know, outlast the Poe onslaught, you know, of him trying to get as close to her as possible, then like I could see her trapping him like up to the neck in earth, just like sucking him down into the earth and hardening it, and like, you know, full strength, full stamina Poe could probably break himself out at the end, you know, towards the end of the fight, like probably not.
I like imagining Poe just his neck above
ground,
just like,
a Poe head sticking out.
Oh, hey! Yeah, this is not a good situation. And then, like, okay, so we talk about Toph, her main strategy is just pummeling the shit, but I don't think we're giving her enough credit as an adaptive fighter. Mm-hmm. This is a girl who managed to learn metal bending. She invented mm-hmm. metal bending. She's able to adapt to situations because she has all... They're fighting in the Earth Kingdom. It's mm-hmm. all rock. She yeah. has complete layout of the land. And once she realized this guy is a bit more, you know, dodgy, mm-hmm. where she's probably going to have flashbacks to fighting Aang, she's mm-hmm. probably has come up with a strategy for fighting Aang. I think she'll come up with a strategy to fight Poe of like, okay, punching him with rocks isn't doing anything. Let's try to get this guy into the ground.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think she pulls out the quicksand, the tombs.
Mm-hmm. That, I mean, just like Toph being an incredibly adaptive fighter, I mean, there's a 100 million things you can do with earthbending. That's the best part about The Last Airbender, is the endless ways you can use all the different bending. But I mean, Poe does a heck of a lot with what he's given as well.
He does gut bending.
Yeah, he is gut bending. You know, I mean, he gets hit by a rock and then launches it twice as fast back at Toph, you know, to take her out. Like, because, I mean, it's one thing to be able to reverberate, but he can control that energy, you know, and it's a little haphazard, I think, but it's still worthwhile to note and to go over.
Toph is almost mastering the area around her where Poe is mastering his own body. Mm-hmm. And so this almost is a fight. Almost, this reminds me sort of the Elsa Spider-Man fight, where Elsa was this force of nature fighting mm-hmm. an opponent who had such control over his own momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And so these fights are kind of ringing bells for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a close fight, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we're kind of rounding down here. Do you have any last thoughts before we make a decision?
You know, with these Super 16 matchups, we sort of talk about the length of the character's abilities in the round, the first round, the round mm-hmm. of 32. So these Super 16 fights are more, okay, here's, you know, all their abilities are laid bare. Let's mm-hmm. see what they can do to them. And we're trying to come up with as many hypothetical scenarios. Mm-hmm. And for this fight, you know, neither opponent has weapons. One opponent has no ranged capability whatsoever in Poe.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we sort of discussed as much as we can. So I'm ready to cast a verdict.
Go for it.
All right. After discussing, I just think this is just so close. So Kylo Ren was the opposite of Poe,
mm-hmm.
personality-wise, fighting style.
You're telling me Adam Driver's no Jack Black? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I think they're a bit different. However, the fact that Poe is opposite of Kylo Ren, I still think Toph wins the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mostly because of terrain manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's able to keep Poe at bay. I think she has more terrain to work with than Poe has with his body. You know, Poe needs to get up close. Like, mm-hmm. he absolutely needs to. And I think Toph has enough tools at her disposal to keep, you know, the Kung Fu Panda at bay.
Right, yeah.
Like I remember Toph literally could, like power walk with the earth,
mm-hmm.
if you remember.
Yes, yeah, I do, yeah.
And so I can imagine so many scenarios where she can bug out, and you brought up the point of durability. Mm-hmm. We've seen Poe get tired. Even when he's, in the second and third movie, he still gets tired, mm-hmm. whereas Toph, like, the only time we see her get tired is when she's trying to stop that drill, you know, from destroying, mm-hmm. like something infinitely bigger than her,
yeah.
and that's not the situation. So I think Toph just being in her element,
mm-hmm.
and having more weapons, more ranged abilities at her disposal, and her ability to bug out, I'm giving it to her 6 out of 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not super confident just because Poe is just so unpredictable and mm-hmm. so, I don't want to say ass pulley, but
yeah, essentially though,
just his ability to redirect rocks, his ability to MacGyver his way through situations and come out on top. But I can't account all that to have Poe win.
It's interesting because I also think it's Toph, but for different reasons actually. And I kind of point towards her mostly, if she did not have the earth armor ability, I would say this is pretty handedly in Poe's favor. But because of her ability to do that, like I do give it to Toph. And it's interesting because, you know, Poe's last battle, he, you know, beat All Might because All Might just stood there and took all the punches because he's All Might.
Yeah.
You know, and now he can nary get a punch in on Toph. And so I think Kung Fu Panda, I think the universe is much more designed for, you know, up close and personal, you know, hits and deflections and things like that. And, you know, Poe's fought people with armor, but, you know, I don't think he's ever fought anybody with armor like Toph was going to have.
Like someone who can control their armor.
Exactly. You know, and so for that reason, I lean towards Toph.
Yeah, because, like, the Avatar universe, people know what other people can do. Bending is a natural art, so strategy mm-hmm. comes up. The wars, essentially, are formulated by how people can use bending.
Mm-hmm.
And so to approach bending, you need to have that strategy, mm-hmm. whereas Poe is more of a go with the flow kind of guy,
mm-hmm.
which in this specific scenario may not work against an opponent who has just absolute control over the land.
Yeah, I think it's a tough fight for Toph,
mm-hmm.
but I do like that finishing move of trapping Poe in the earth. Like, that's one thing that, like, you know, that's one thing that All Might was missing. You know, I mean, if All Might had a way to trap him, you know, I think it would have been more definitively in All Might's favor. In the time that All Might takes to dig a hole in the ground and bury Poe, like, you know, like that.
He just punches a crater in the ground.
Exactly. Like,
Poe in.
Yeah, like, I don't foresee that happening. But I mean, that's, you know, Toph's MO. So, yeah. So I do give it to Toph. I would even go as far as 7 out of 10 times.
Yeah, and one more point I don't think we really mentioned is how crafty and borderline underhanded Toph is. Because our first introduction to her is she's fighting these pit fights.
And she
does, you know, kind of borderline sketchy shit.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff that wouldn't make it in pro bending in the core universe. Yeah.
And so Poe, I feel like a good blindside from Toph would like get him discombobulated and might, you know, if he didn't get, you know, sideswiped or sucker punched in the beginning, maybe Poe would have won. But, you know, there's just so many of those incremental things that are just playing in a Toph's favor for me to favor her in this fight.
Yeah, I think so too. So Toph, the 5 seed, moves on. We have 2 5 seeds in the final 8. We have Bakugo and Toph. So
woo!
Now, she's gonna go up against the winner of Aquaman versus Mr. Incredible, which we'll be discussing next week.
We're gonna be completely transparent with you guys. Like, this fight, we have absolutely no idea.
Absolutely no idea. I mean, how many times can you just talk about how hard somebody punches? I don't, like...
We might just have a Rock'em Sock'em robot.
So yeah, that will determine the North, and then after that, we just have 2 more Super 16, and then we're on to the Epic 8.
Holy shit.
Crazy. Like, at that point, we'd have 7 more battles to go, so...
It's almost like we just started yesterday.
So we're rolling through the first season. Just want to say, put it out there. Obviously, make sure to follow us on social media. We have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's all Super Bracket Bros. Go ahead and search us, find us. Particularly Facebook, if you want to see the brackets online, we have the links all there. And then additionally, I just want to keep it in your brains. Make sure you're telling your friends to be able to watch the show. You know, word of mouth is the best type of advertising, so we certainly appreciate anything and everything that you do, you know, including just listening to us ramble about nonsense, you know, and bringing together these universes that, you know, were inspired by each other but never meant to really interact. Tell your friends, and I'll say it again, like I said last week, we're working on season 2, and as many people we have listening as possible, we've got some ideas to further include our audience, so it would be much appreciated, you know, to let people know.
I'm throwing my hat in for Perry the Platypus and Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
You know, we'll take it into consideration. I think that about does it for us. Thank you again for listening. You got anything else? Any earthbending wisdom to give the people, Eli?
Oh, shit, wait, actually, I don't have anything.
Shocking.
And we're going to PodFest. Woo! Yeah.
And we're going to PodFest this weekend. We're going to be in Orlando. If you're going to be in Orlando, hit us up. We'll hang out. We're just kidding. This episode's going to come out on Sunday. PodFest will be over by then. That's how on top of things we are. So ask us how it went. I'm sure it was great, and we learned lots. We're
gonna get some pod wisdom.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have by the time we're back, we'll have a professional radio show on the internet. I think this is the 4th time I said this, but thank you for listening. We sincerely appreciate it. And on behalf of myself, Jay, and Eli here, just want to say, remember, no true hero is a one-trick pony.
Hear the legends of the Kung Fu Panda. Raised in a noodle shop, never seeking glory or fame. He climbed the mountaintop and earned the Dragon Warrior.